Just a little longer, I'd have been yodeling right here on the front row. And take your Bible, if you will. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4 of praying and considering and thinking about what to preach. I finished up the book of Colossians. You say, man, you're not going to preach through Proverbs. No, but, all right, I do want to start a series that will come about with here, all right? So if you're there in Proverbs chapter 4, if you will, look at verse 1. The Bible says, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. I want you to look in verse 5, the Bible says, get wisdom. In verse 7, the Bible says, get wisdom. Now, I've always said, if God says something once, it's important. But if he says twice, you really ought to perk up, all right? And you ought to just get with the program. And so I want to preach to you, you know, probably a few weeks on get wisdom. Now, just to be honest with you, I start a series like this with great trepidation. And I'll tell you why. Because I worry that folks won't listen because of an incorrect attitude that many people have. You say, what's that? Well, it's the attitude that says basically, hey, I've heard it all over and over. I've been told I need to have wisdom. I've been taken to the book of Proverbs over and over so many times. And preacher, I just want to tell you, there's nothing you can say I don't already know. And my answer to that is, bless God, why are you living the way you're living then, all right? But maybe that's a little harsh, okay? But I do believe this. Man, I believe there's anything people need to get a hold of today, it's wisdom, all right? It is wisdom. It's a necessary thing beyond a shadow of a doubt. God's told us to get wisdom. Get wisdom. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of wisdom, I think of maybe common sense, horse sense, and then add to that the knowledge and the ability that comes only from God. And you put all that together, that's wisdom. And that's the thing that I feel like I just see less and less of all the time. I mean, You don't see people exercising much in the way of wisdom. And I'll be honest, much of this series will originate in Proverbs, but it's not going to be restricted to just the book of Proverbs, because all the Bible is a book of wisdom. All the Bible is a book of wisdom. And we're going to try to look at it maybe a little different. We're going to maybe look at some of the biblical accounts of men and women who either displayed much wisdom or almost none. I see people like that today. See people that display a lot of wisdom, but I see a lot of people display, looks like, no wisdom. They just seem to be bereft of any kind of wisdom at all. But I'm, you know, I thought about it, and truly this series could never end. But relax, I'm not going to do that to you, all right? I won't do it, you know. And if it gets tiresome or burdensome, we'll try to shift focus there a little bit, you know. But I do kind of hope to bring some things to you with a little different perspective, all right? Not just going down the line, you know, about this or that, but trying to help you a little bit and help you to handle life. Now, not cope with life, because I don't believe God intended for us to cope with life. God didn't leave us here to do that. He left us here to overcome it, to triumph in it, and to show forth the Lord Jesus Christ during the life we live right here. So we're not copers, all right? At all. And the only way we'll ever do that is have wisdom, all right? So when we start talking about wisdom, the question comes up, exactly what is wisdom? Now, usually when you give something like that, people ask, run to the dictionary. We're not going to run to the dictionary, all right? I want you to see what the Bible says. You're open there in Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse 7, all right? Notice what the Bible says about wisdom. It's the principal thing. It is the principal thing. Hey, that's first place. Hey, wait a minute. It's not tied with anything in first place. But it is the principal thing. You talk about something you need to live your Christian life, you need wisdom. It is the principal thing to get a hold of. It's first in place, time, order, or rank. That's what that word principal means. It sits at the top of the heap of things to get. You with me? Top of the heap. Now, most time we don't look at it that way. That's not the way. We don't put a premium on getting wisdom. People in this world don't. We put a premium on getting money. We put a premium on getting all the stuff we can get. All right? All, you know, we want to get everything that we, you know, just pile it on, all the things that we can have, everything that comes along, and every new thing, we just want to do that. But the Bible said the thing you really ought to have in the top place, nor top priority, ought to be wisdom. It's the principal thing, all right? And, you know, you just think about it. How much time and effort do you put forth obtaining wisdom? Wisdom. Now, we got youngins here that are in school. You said, well, they're getting wisdom. No, not necessarily. It is accumulating facts. And some of them I know they're not accumulating that many facts. But anyway, we won't dwell on that, okay? That's just a bunch of stuff and a bunch of knowledge, not necessarily wisdom, all right? I just want to tell you, if you can find the square root of a number, that's not wisdom. If you can find the circumference of a circle, it doesn't mean you've got wisdom. All right, you got some smarts, maybe, okay? You can do some things. And if you got an engineering degree, it doesn't mean you have wisdom. It doesn't mean that at all right? Hey, the truth of the matter is more time and effort and concern ought to be given to getting wisdom than it is to hear the latest gossip or to be entertained. But man, how much time do we spend trying to be entertained? All right, I hate to ask you, you know, and I'm going to throw the question out there, but I'm not expecting you to answer it. How much time do you spend in front of the television? Too much time, and you know, we spend in front of the TV or on the internet. Hey, I just want to tell you, I'm not preaching against those things, but I'm just saying we spend a lot of time there. But that's not where we're going to get wisdom, all right? It's not usually going to come from there. Now, some could be helped, all right? So wisdom, you say, what's wisdom? It's the principal things. Number one thing, we're to be concerned about having it, all right? Now, let's look at something else. Look, if you will, over in the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, if you're in Proverbs, the very next book is Ecclesiastes, all right? Ecclesiastes, won't you look in chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes? I'm going to read a couple of verses there, all right? Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and I want to read a couple of verses because this is where the Lord says something else about wisdom, all right? And here's what he says it is, okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 9, look at verse 16. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Then verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war. But one sinner destroyeth much good. Hey, our Bible says wisdom is better than strength, and it's better than weapons of war. Now, I know there's always the cynical person says, okay, you go to battle with your wisdom, I'll come with my gun. But the truth of the matter is, if you don't have some wisdom, your gun's not going to do you a lot of good. It's just not going to do you a lot of good. You can be a Hulk, you know, and able to take and tear the phone book in half. It's easy now, nobody has one. But, you can tear the Sears catalog. Okay, we don't have that either. I don't know what strong men are tearing apart nowadays, all right? But you can have all that might and all that strength, but if you don't have wisdom, you're in a mess, okay? The Bible said it's better than that. It's better than that. It's better to have some wisdom. Hey, there's been some military leaders that have been able to win some battles because of wisdom. When they were outnumbered, the other guy had more arms, you know, everything down the line. I'll never forget reading back during the Civil War, there was an instance of a cavalryman, he comes up over a hill, and the truth of the matter is he's mounted on a horse, but he's by himself. And he comes up over the hill, and there in front of him is a squad of soldiers that are armed, and he's by himself. And he says, rather than running, he says, "All right, charge!" There wasn't anybody behind him. But it scared the fellows in front of him, and they took off, all right? Wisdom. Wisdom. A little bit of wisdom. I'm just telling you, the Bible, when we talk about wisdom, the Bible said it's better than strength, it's better than weapons of war. You can do more with it than you can all of those things. Hey, the truth of the matter is, what we need in Washington is some people that's got some wisdom. And it's so lacking in our day, all right? No wisdom. But boy, that's what we need. Not strength. Not weapons of war. We need somebody that's got some wisdom. So wisdom is the principal thing. It's better than strength. It's better than weapons of war. But not only that, go with me to the book of Job. Job chapter 28. You said, "Where's Job?" Well, it's Job in most people's Bible. Job chapter 28, all right? Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28, just a verse here, and then we're going to go to Proverbs and read a verse because I want to emphasize, actually, three verses here in Job 28. Job 28, look down to verse 17, would you? The Bible said that the gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued, notice, with pure gold. Go then, if you will, to Proverbs 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And have your Bible? Well, let's use it a little bit tonight. Proverbs chapter 16. And look at one verse there, all right? Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 16. Notice what the Bible says. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. Hey, it is better to get wisdom than it is to get gold. Now, I'm just here to tell you, most people in this world don't believe that Bible verse. And I believe there's a lot of Christians that question that Bible verse, all right? They question it. You say, "Why do you say that?" Because of the way they live and the way they act, all right? They do not act as if wisdom is such an important thing and such a valuable thing. But the Bible tells us, you're talking about wisdom, not only is it the principal thing, not only is it better than strength and weapons of war, but it is of great value. Just, it's hard to even put a price tag on it. The Bible said it's worth more than precious stones and pure gold. That means pretty valuable stuff. Now, in whose eyes? Well, God's eyes. And we profess, hey, we're believers, we're Christians, then we ought to feel the same way. Hey, our Lord says it's more valuable to have it, all right? But I just ask you, what person today has no interest in precious stones or gold? Now, I'm not a big precious stone person, but I'm interested if you're passing out gold, okay? I will get in line, all right? If you're going to be passing out gold, I'll get in line. Most everybody has an interest in it. Many people will do just about anything to lay their hands on stuff like precious stones or gold. But the Bible says wisdom is worth more. Wisdom is worth more. God help us not to forget that. In the going through of life and living of life, God help us not to forget that that wisdom is worth more than all of that gold and all the precious stones in the world, and the price cannot be put on it. It could honestly be said to be priceless, all right? Go with me now to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 7, would you? Luke chapter 7, that is in the New Testament, all right? Luke chapter 7, notice what the Bible says here about wisdom. Wisdom. I find this verse pretty interesting, all right? All right, Luke chapter 7, look if you will, verse 35. The Bible says, "But wisdom is justified of all her children." Now notice, wisdom is justified of all her children. Now, that word justified, the basic meaning of justify is to declare it right. We talk about justification. We have, therefore, being justified by faith, all right? The truth of the matter is, when God justifies us, he declares us to be righteous. That's what he does. So that word justified is to declare right, all right? Now, the Bible says those who are the children of wisdom are more than willing to declare that wisdom is right. But it goes beyond that. There's a word in there. Do you see that word that makes it so different? That little three-letter word, all. It's justified of all her children. Now, I've dealt with through my life with a whole lot of people. Whole lot of people. I've dealt with families and the children of families where there's more than one child. Sometimes maybe in a case where there's several children in the family. And oftentimes you can get a difference of opinion from the children about the parents. Okay? You talk to the children, and some of the children are going to say, you know, they might say, well, Dad was a pretty good guy, but. And, my parents were okay. But, hey, the Bible says all of her children, when it comes to wisdom is justified of all of her children. There is no disagreement among those who have wisdom, those who are the children of wisdom. There's no disagreement among them. None of them are going to say wisdom's not that big a deal. None of them are going to say that, all right? All of them testify to her supremacy and her rightness. Everyone. There's no disagreement. None of them would gladly part with her. Now, you think about that. I'll happily part. There's some things I don't mind parting with. But I don't want to be without wisdom. Don't want to be without wisdom. Wisdom is one of those things I pray for constantly. Because you have to deal with so much. As a preacher, you got to deal with a lot of things. You have to deal with a lot of people. And sometimes it's almost unbelievable the situations that people find themselves in and people get themselves in. And they want you, preacher, could you help me? You have to come up with some wisdom to do it. Dealing with kids in school, it takes wisdom. Start to say it takes patience, but wisdom is better. Wisdom keeps me from killing some I've lost patience with. Hey, there you go. You need that wisdom. You need that wisdom. None of the children of wisdom would say, I sure do regret the effort I put forth to get it. I regret the effort I put forth to obtain wisdom. But I ask you, is there some things you've got that you say, you know, it really wasn't worth all that effort? Really wasn't worth all that effort. It's not that big a deal. I thought at the time it was, but I realize now it wasn't that big a deal. Hey, but nobody with wisdom is going to say, yeah, I wish I hadn't spent so much time trying to get wisdom. Not a one, all right? Wisdom is justified of all of her children. Take your Bible now. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Psalms 111, the 111th Psalm, if you would. Get Psalms 111 in one hand and then get Proverbs chapter 9 in the other one, okay? Proverbs chapter 9, and if you're going to have your Bible right side up, I'd suggest Proverbs 9 be where you have your right hand, and Psalms 111 be where you have your left hand, all right? Sure keeps it easier, all right? You're there, Proverbs 9 and Psalms 111. Let's go to Psalms 111 first. Let's look at verse 10. The Bible said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Hey, did you hear that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now look, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, I feel like I've heard that somewhere before. Yeah, we heard it twice. It's recorded again in the Word of God twice for us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Can I just say this to you? If you don't fear the Lord, you have no wisdom, and you'll never have any until you do fear Him. You'll never have any until you do fear Him. You just don't have it, all right? That's why so many intelligent, very intelligent people, by that I mean very high IQs, they don't have any wisdom. Don't have any wisdom. Oh, they're intelligent. The world would say, man, they're smart. But they don't have any wisdom. Well, why not? Hey, why don't they have any wisdom? Because they don't fear God. They don't fear God, okay? Now, I want to remind you, you can be smart, but wisdomless. And I wrote that word wisdomless in my notes, and my computer underlined it, all right? So maybe it's not a word, but I'm going to put it in there anyway, all right? Hey, you just don't have any wisdom. You can be real smart, but you don't have any wisdom. That you know, I think of guys like Isaac Asimov, and very intelligent guy. All right, Stephen Hawking, boy, brilliant IQ, no wisdom, no wisdom. Now, he ran some theoretical physics out there that, you know, just blows the mind of people, but he doesn't have any wisdom. Why, preacher said, why do you say that? Because he said there wasn't any God. You don't say there's no God if you fear God. You don't do that, all right? But the fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. You want to get your wisdom started. Boy, it starts with fearing God. Learn to fear God. Now, a lot of people don't understand that. Well, I thought God was a God of love. He is. He is, but you better fear Him. Remember what it says over in the New Testament? He said, don't fear the one that can just take your life. But you fear the one that can put your soul in hell. You fear that one. And you need to be careful. We need to realize that we ought to have a fear of God. A good, healthy fear of God is good for you. I think one of the worst things parents do today is raise their children not to fear them at all. Hey, I'm your buddy. No, you need to teach them to fear you. There needs to be something in you that they've got a little bit of fear. Now, I don't mean every time they see you, they run and jump in the closet, all right? I'm not talking about that. But there ought to be a little bit of fear. You know, I mentioned to you before, man, my dad had a look. When I saw that look, I was afraid, okay? I was afraid. He just had a look. I mean, that's all he had to do was look at us. And he never looked that way at anybody but my brother and I. And when he looked, we were afraid, okay? I said, boy, this is not good, all right? And, I had some fear of him, all right? Had some fear of him. Good thing. Why? Because it helped me to grow up and fear God. It helped me to grow up and fear God. Good thing for you and I to fear God. Good thing. If you're afraid of somebody, you're careful about what you do. You're careful about what you do. I was afraid of some of my aunts. I was careful when I was in their house. I tried to make sure I sat where they wanted me to sit, you know. And I was careful. I've had some teachers I was afraid of. That wasn't a bad thing. That wasn't a bad thing. That's a good thing. Problem is today, a lot of kids have no fear of anybody. I have no fear of anybody, anything. That's not a good thing. It's not good at all because they think I can do whatever I want to do and who's going to stop me? Well, God will. God will, and it'd be a whole lot better off if you were stopped before God has to do it. All right? Whole lot better if you learn to fear people. So wisdom begins with the fear of God. So, preacher, how in the world do we get this thing? You're talking about getting wisdom. How do we get wisdom? Now, obviously, the first answer, and the easiest one right out of the gun, is to ask for it. Ask for it. James chapter 1, verse 5, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God. But can I say this? I don't believe that the Lord says that and says, hey, just any old casual offhand asking will get you wisdom. There's a fella in the Bible that we know of asked for it and got it. You go back and you read about Solomon and you see how Solomon, what he said, he did not wish for wisdom so, hey, everybody will think I'm the smartest guy in the world. What he asked for, he said, I want wisdom because I've got a position and I have to rule these people, and God, I can't do it without that wisdom. I can't do it. Now, I'm just saying to you, I think you want to have wisdom is good. You can ask, but I think that asking needs to be for a good purpose. Not just so you can run around and expose everybody else's ignorance. No, it ought to be, I'm going to take that wisdom and I'm going to put it to use for you. Hey, Solomon said, I'm going to rule your people, Lord. I'm going to rule your people. I'm going to put that wisdom to good use, and I need you to help me. I need you to give it to me, all right? He asked so he could be a good king. If you have a desire to get wisdom to use for good, then go ahead and ask for it, and you ought to. You ought to ask for it. By the way, I don't think you ought to ask for wisdom just for your own benefit. Remember what the scripture says? We have not because we ask not. And we ask amiss that we can consume it on our own lust. Hey, if it's just about you, don't bother. But man, you need wisdom. Sure you need wisdom. But I hope it's not just to consume yourself. It's so that you might be used of God to do something for Him that you flat cannot do without His wisdom. Wisdom, you need it, all right? You get it. How do you get it? Number one, you ask for it. But how else do you get it? Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. There's another way you can get it, all right? Proverbs chapter 1. Look down, if you will, in verse 5. Verse 5. The Bible says a wise man will what? Hear. Wise man will hear. Hey, you get wisdom by hearing. Maybe we'll say by listening. Okay? You can get wisdom by listening. Look at the rest of that same verse, all right? Verse 5 there. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Wise counsel. Hey, you don't get wisdom from dummies. All right? You don't get wisdom from dummies. You can't get it just by listening to anybody. I'd strongly urge you not spend your time listening to TV expecting to get wisdom, all right? Don't go to the normal sources that the world goes to. Dr. Phil, I've got nothing against Dr. Phil. Don't go to Dr. Phil for wisdom. Don't go to him for wisdom. Don't go to Oprah for wisdom. Don't go to The View. I think that's the name of the show. I've never seen it, heard about it. Don't go to The View for wisdom. Don't do that. Hey, if you want wisdom, you don't go to dummies to get it, all right? Now, that might mean you don't just go to your buddies. I mean, you just don't go just to your buddies. You know, go to people that you think, well, they're going to tell me what I want to hear. You know, I've always said, if you got a new hairstyle, ladies, don't go to your friends and don't go to your husband and ask, how do you like this? Or what do you think of my new hairdo? Because oftentimes they're afraid not to say, oh, yeah, it's great. It's wonderful. And I might say, well, it's unique. Now, I've told people, don't ask me if you don't want me to tell you what I really think. Don't ask, all right? But, hey, you ought not to go. We go to them because we figure, you know what? They're going to tell us, oh, yeah, looks good. Now, later on, they may go, my word, what were they thinking, all right? But they have a tendency to do that. Hey, but you get wisdom from hearing, all right? But you got to be careful who you're listening to. You ought to listen to those that are spiritual and those that know how to get a hold of God. Now, that's the people you need to listen to. That verse says wise counsels, all right? Wise counsels. Proverbs chapter 1, you still there? Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You don't get it from the wicked. Look at chapter 10, Proverbs. Chapter 10 in Proverbs, down to verse 21, all right? The Bible says the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Be sure when you're hearing and you're listening, be sure who you're listening to. Be sure who you're listening to. Boy, sometimes it'd be a good thing, you know, you decide to, I forget who it was I heard one time. I think it was Jack House, said he found the book of sermons and he was reading through it and thought, man, these are wonderful thoughts. And he got there and he's like, who wrote this? Look, there's a rank liberal that wrote it, all right? Now, you better be careful about listening to them, all right? It's better off not to do that. I don't encourage you to go on television and Christian television and listen to Jimmy Swaggart. Don't encourage you to go there, all right? Don't encourage you to go to Rod Parsley. Don't go to them. Benny Hinn. It's okay to go hear Benny Hinn for entertainment, but not for wise counsel, all right? No, I was really being sarcastic there. Don't go, all right? You're not going to get wisdom from the lips of the wicked. You're not going to get wisdom from those that are wrong doctrinally, biblically. You're not going to do that. It's not where you're going to get wisdom. You need to find that spiritual person that, like I said, knows how to get a hold of God, get it from them. So you can get wisdom by asking for it. You can get wisdom by listening. But there's something else, Proverbs 23, all right? Proverbs 23, look if you will, verse 26. Said, here's this thing, we want this wisdom, how are we going to do it? Solomon said these words, my son, give me thine heart, but notice, and let thine eyes observe my ways. You can get wisdom from observation. Solomon said to his son, not just listen to me, but watch me. Watch my ways. Watch what I do. Watch what I do. Ever had somebody trying to instruct you about doing some skill? Now, if all they do is tell you, you're in trouble. But if they pick up tool or the whatever and say, now watch this. Watch this carefully. Here's how you do it. Observe, all right? It's observation. Now, Solomon said, son, you watch the way I live. You watch my ways. You do that. And you say, could he have gotten wisdom? You bet, he sure could have. He could have watched Solomon in his early years, and man, his wisdom would have increased down the line just from seeing what he did and how God blessed him. Man, God just blessed him immensely. He said, well, I know what's going on. I know you're sitting there thinking, yeah, but, and yep, you're right. You could have observed Solomon's days early in his king as a king and got wisdom from it. But you could observe his days in the end of his days and got wisdom from it. Not because he was doing right. But you could understand, you could look and see he's doing wrong. You said, well, how's that going to help me? Because you see the hand of God's blessing taken off of Solomon. God took his hand of blessing off of him. Hey, wisdom, look at that. Look at that. I'm glad, I guess, I'd say it this way, that I grew up with a dad that was somewhat of a people watcher. And I inherited that trait, maybe. Because I like to watch people. I like to watch people. I'm going to the stock show. Stock show's going on right now. If you go down to the stock show and get out on the midway, and you run into those fellas running the games on the midway, those fellas are masters of human psychology. Now, they don't have a degree, but they're masters. Now, I've gone out there, and I used to really enjoy, that's one of the things I enjoyed going to stock show. Now, the only thing is now I went on those days in what they call public school day. Kids out of school, kids got a ticket, and they had a free ticket to get in stock show grounds, And man, it was jammed out. There were people everywhere. It was fun to go when it was like that, because you could stand in the crowd and watch the sucker. I mean, watch those who are not quite so wise. All right? And you could learn from them. I've watched people shell out money. It was unbelievable. I mean, they just kept shelling it out. There was a guy in Fort Myers, Florida, and he had his own Dunkin' booth. He sat in the Dunkin' booth. And it was amazing how many people he could get up there and shell money. I mean, dollar after dollar after dollar, trying to dunk him. And he was caustic. He was sarcastic. He was insulting. Some of them, man, you'd see him. And watching there at the booth, there was always a crowd around there. And he's insulting the guy that's throwing the ball trying to dunk him. And I've seen people get so mad they didn't throw the ball at the, you know, round target that dunks him. They threw the ball at the bars at him. That's why there's bars in front of him, all right? You couldn't hit him. Man, he made people mad. And they kept putting down the money. He tried to get him to do it. Well, he would pick somebody. And oftentimes he'd pick a guy that had a girl on his arm. And he'd work to shame him. And so he'd feel like, well, if I don't throw this, you know, I'm going to look bad in front of my girlfriend here. And man, but then he kept putting it on them and they got mad. I just tell you something, you can't throw straight when you're mad. All right? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Observation. Observation. You learn something. You can get wisdom, all right? Yep, if you'd have watched Solomon in his early days, you could have seen how wisdom and how wise he was and what God did and what a blessing God put upon him. And that ought to help you to think, you know what, if I'd exercise that wisdom, God bless me. And he will. On the other hand, you watch him when he got old, and you see him married to a bunch of different women. He's got his heart turned away from God. He's put in high places, places to worship idols, false gods. Hey, there's wisdom there. You see God take his hand off of him. You hear me, I believe with all my heart, you're looking at a man that was no longer happy, no longer had the joy that he had coming up when he is obeying God, serving him. I want to tell you, the rich and famous are often not good folks to emulate, but you can get wisdom from their suffering. You can get wisdom from their suffering. You know, I think young people ought to look at the rich and famous and see who they marry. And then watch them as they divorce that one. And you know, you might think about it just a little bit. You know what? There is more to marriage just marrying somebody who's good looking. I don't think there's anything wrong marrying somebody good looking, all right? But there's more to life than just marrying the beauty queen or the hunk, all right? There's a lot more to it than that. Wisdom. How do you get it? Observation. Observation. You know, I think it's wise just sit back and look and see who's happy in life. Really, really happy in life. That enjoys life. You know, oftentimes people look at a preacher that really preaches against sin and you think they're never happy, they're always mad. No, they're in having a good old time serving God. I think about Brother Lester Roloff. It was around him just a tiny little bit. There was a man that enjoyed living. Now, he didn't enjoy eating as much as I do, all right? But he enjoyed living. Why? He had some wisdom. Wisdom. Boy, you can pick it up. So how do you get it? Well, you get it by asking God. You get it by listening. You get it from observation. Proverbs chapter 1, there's another way you can get wisdom, all right? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2. Notice, this is the Bible says, to know wisdom and instruction. To know wisdom and instruction. Listen, That's the reason God put the book of Proverbs in the Bible, so you could know wisdom. So you could know wisdom. So what do you mean? I mean, you get it by reading. That's why a lot of people today don't have much wisdom. They don't read. Don't read. You got to beat them with a stick to get them to read the Bible, all right? Truth of the matter is, the book of Proverbs is written to help you gain wisdom. But as I've already said, wisdom's found all throughout the Bible. Wisdom. Now, there's a very limited number of, I'm a reader, all right? I think everybody knows that. I love to read a lot. And there's a very limited number of authors that I will read that write nonfiction. Very limited. But when I read those books, I don't really get wisdom. But man, I've read other books, and I get wisdom. Get wisdom from reading those books. And especially after reading the Bible and considering what the Bible says, and then comparing what the Bible says with the life of this individual right here and what they did and what happened to them. And you can see the wisdom that comes, all right? You can get it from reading. If you'll read and heed, then you're going to be way ahead of most folks when it comes to wisdom. You just learn to read, especially this book right here. Read this book. You know, we've encouraged it. You've heard it over and over again. As a preacher said all the time, it's because we want to keep on to drive it home. We want to be sure you never forget. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Boy, if it'll help you. Give you that wisdom, all right? I'm going to give you the last thing. We're done. You say, thank God. All right. Over in the New Testament. No, in the Old Testament. Sorry. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Now, you're not going to like this one, okay? You said, man, I don't like reading. Okay. You're going to like this even less. Notice what Proverbs says in Proverbs 3. Look at verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Now notice that verse 13 is linked with verse 11 and 12 for a reason. The Bible says, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Hey, you get wisdom from chastening. You get wisdom from chastening. You do not get wisdom from someone that allows you to do anything you want to do whenever you want to do it the way you want to do it. You don't get wisdom by an indulgent person. Children raised by indulgent parents don't grow up wise. They don't. That doesn't produce wisdom. Okay? And in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5, it talks about chastening of the Lord. Okay? Talks about that. Hey, we need that chastening. You can get wisdom from the chastening hand of God. Now, I won't tell you this. It's not my choice of the way to get it. But, you know, you've heard that. I'm just stubborn. Maybe it'd be smart if you weren't so stubborn. Can I say this to you? That's really not a badge to brag about. I'm stubborn. Okay. So was a mule my grandpa had. He was stubborn. So was some cows he had, but my grandpa had a way of dealing with them. And he made believers out of every one of them. Yeah, I mean, he just made believers. Had a cow. And cow, every time they'd milk it, they'd get the milk going. The cow would kick the bucket over. My grandpa got tired of that. And when he got through, that cow never kicked the bucket again. Ever. You could take that cow and put it in the middle of the lot. That would be comparable to, say, this a room this size with nothing in it. That was just fenced-in area. That cow, after my grandpa instructed him a little bit, that my grandmother could sit their stool out in the middle of that cow would stand still, and that my grandmother could milk that cow no sweat. But it took some chastening. Now, in our day, oh, that's terrible. No, that's what we need. Hey, I'll tell you, we need chastening from God. If you'll take the chastening and seek why it's given, then you'll increase in wisdom. Lord, why? Now, why are you doing it? No, not that attitude. But Lord, why? What is it I need to learn? What is any? Hey, listen, the chastening hand of God brings some wisdom. Now, I don't know about you. You do it your way. You stubborn? Okay, you do it your way. I think I'd rather ask. I'd rather listen. I'd rather observe. I'd rather read. But if you want the chastening, go ahead. But not me. I'd much rather have it the other way, all right? Hey, God help us. God helps to get wisdom. Even a tiny bit of wisdom would point you to salvation. Even the tiniest bit of wisdom. Why? Because only a fool turns down the free gift of God, which is eternal life. Only a fool does that. Only a fool. Hey, don't let yourself, though, at the same time, you say, preacher, I'm saved. Good, good. Don't let yourself then miss the opportunities God's going to send your way to get wisdom. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open. Read the book. Read the book. If it takes it, take the chastening. Get the wisdom. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight and realizing we have a need. Lord, we need your help. We need